Hello, welcome to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast, where it is all about helping amazing physicians just like you create a wealthy life free from burnout and with the financial security to practice medicine on your own terms. I'm your host, Dr. Elisa Zhang. Hello, and welcome back to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. I don't know if you remember, but when Mitt Romney was running for president, something that came up was the fact that he had millions of dollars in his IRA. It really caught the attention of the media. In preparing for this podcast episode, I did a little Google searching, and I found a Forbes article from 2018 that estimated Romney having somewhere between $20.8 million and $101.6 million in his IRA account. Many people have questioned how he could have amassed such a fortune in his IRA. After all, the IRS caps how much money can be contributed to retirement accounts. For the period of time that Romney was investing, the most he could contribute a year was $30,000 a year. And that wouldn't have been directly into an IRA, but into whatever retirement-based employer plan, like a 401k or 403b or SEP IRA or any other qualified retirement plan. Mitt Romney was the founder and chief executive of Bain Capital from 1984 to 1999, and this is presumably the time period where he was putting money away in a qualified retirement plan of some sort that later grew to this $20 to $100 million. I think one thing that's safe to say is that he certainly didn't grow his IRA portfolio by investing in stocks and bonds. Many people have their retirement accounts with brokerages that give limited options for investment. If you are a W-2 employee, you likely have no choice where your 401k or where your 403b is held. Even individual retirement accounts, where you get to choose where you open your account, whether it's a traditional or a Roth IRA, are often held at well-known brokerages like Vanguard or Fidelity or Charles Schwab. While there are great options for investing in low-cost index funds at places like Vanguard, the investing options presented are still limited to stocks, mutual funds, and trading in options. What many people don't realize is that there are companies that act as custodians for retirement accounts, which allow for a much broader range of investments. Maybe you've heard of check writing capability with a retirement account, or what's called a self-directed IRA. I don't know the details of what Mitt Romney invested in, but I can tell you his IRA was not at Vanguard. Romney likely had a self-directed IRA, which allowed him to invest in anything. Well, almost anything. Now, whether or not it was smart for him to invest with his IRA is up for debate. Since it was a traditional IRA that he invested with, he will end up paying ordinary income taxes at the highest tax bracket when he starts to make withdrawals, which he will be forced to do when he reaches age 70. Those investments may have paid less in taxes if they were taxed at the long-term capital gains rate of anywhere between 15 and 20%. When it comes down to it, all retirement accounts are really just tax codes. Code 401 lists multiple qualified pension, profit sharing, and stock bonus plans. 401k actually stands for Section 401k of the tax code. That's how it gets its name. The IRS tax code lists multiple different qualified pension, profit sharing, and stock bonus plans. When we talk about 401k, we're actually talking about Section 401k of the tax code. There's a Section 401a, which establishes a qualified plan by a business and is subject to the provisions of the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. The tax code is written as incentives to get people to do things that the government wants to promote. Congress enacted Internal Revenue Code Section 401 as part of the Revenue Act in 1978 to open a pathway for individuals to save and invest towards retirement. Nowhere in the tax code does it say that retirement accounts have to be invested in mutual funds. There are some limitations mentioned in the tax code on what investments cannot be made from retirement accounts, but it's much more open than people realize. So why haven't more people heard of these accounts, much less have them? Perhaps you've never heard of a self-directed IRA, or maybe you have heard of it but don't really know much about it. Well, the fact of the matter is, most people limit their investing to stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and so they really don't have a need for these other types of accounts. Generally, these accounts are not ideal for real estate investing, which I'll elaborate more on in a bit. Another reason many people don't know about these self-directed retirement accounts is that there isn't as much money to be made in administering these accounts, and they're not heavily advertised like big brokerage firms. Typical Wall Street financial service firms profit from offering you mutual funds to purchase. That's what all those expense ratios on the mutual funds represents. That's actually money that they're making by offering these mutual funds. They're not really making money off the fees associated with administering the accounts. I mean, if you look at your Vanguard account, when's the last time you saw an actual administration fee? Actually, Vanguard's not a good example because it's actually owned by the people who own shares of their mutual funds and ETFs. But even with Fidelity or Charles Schwab, there's just not many fees associated with these accounts anymore. What I mean by administration fees are account opening fees, account closing fees, account maintenance fees, fees to buy an individual stock. It used to be that it cost you money to buy or sell an individual stock or ETF, but largely those fees have really disappeared. I remember when I started investing, I think Fidelity charged either $25 or $35 for each purchase or sale of an individual stock, but there was no such fee for purchasing a Fidelity mutual fund. Of course, Fidelity is making their money with mutual fund through their expense ratios. So back to the topic. For those seeking greater control and diversity of their investment portfolios, the emergence of self-directed retirement accounts really presents a compelling alternative. So again, what exactly is a self-directed retirement account? With a self-directed retirement account, investors have the flexibility to allocate their retirement funds into a wide range of assets, and this includes real estate, precious metals, private equity, cryptocurrency. You get the idea. There are some investments prohibited in qualified retirement plans, like collectibles, which would include artwork, stamps, antiques, and gemstones. Essentially, a self-directed retirement account puts the investor really in the driver's seat. It allows the investor to tailor their portfolio to align with whatever unique financial goals and whatever risk tolerance they personally have. It gives the investor full autonomy for better or for worse. So an investor has much greater control over all investment decisions, but this also means making all the decisions and choices based on their own expertise. When you invest in a mutual fund, every mutual fund has to be registered with the SEC, and so there is oversight on those investments. However, there are a lot of investments out there that you can invest in through a self-directed retirement account that has really no oversight at all. Really, you as an investor get to make all the choices, even if they turn out to not be great choices. One of the primary advantages of the self-directed retirement account is the ability to diversify in investments beyond the traditional asset classes of stocks and bonds and mutual funds. I often talk about how important diversification is when it comes to investing. Mutual funds give diversification within the asset classes of stocks and bonds. Self-directed retirement accounts give diversification across more various asset classes. With more diversification, investors can mitigate risk and potentially enhance returns, especially in volatile market conditions. Since they are retirement accounts, self-directed retirement accounts offer the same advantage where investments grow tax-free. There are also different types of self-directed retirement accounts. There are those that are like the traditional 401ks or 403bs where pre-tax dollars are contributed, as well as Roth versions where after-tax dollars are contributed. You may notice that he's saying self-directed retirement accounts, and that's because the accounts do vary, and it's not like it's necessarily the equivalent. So there are self-directed IRAs, there are self-directed 401ks, and then there are just self-directed retirement accounts that are called qualified plans. Well, if all of this is so great, you may be asking yourself, what's the drawback? While self-directed retirement accounts offer numerous benefits, it's really essential to approach them with caution and careful consideration. Remember, I said that you can invest in anything, for better or for worse. As with all investments, you really need to do your own due diligence and research whenever you make an investment. It is very possible to fall for a scam investment and invest money out of your self-directed retirement account and then lose all the money that's invested. While a mutual fund may drop 50%, it's unlikely to become completely worthless. That being said, a stock can become completely worthless, as Bed Bath & Beyond stock recently did so. The administrative fees and expenses for self-directed retirement accounts also tend to be much higher compared to accounts at big brokerage firms. Again, the big brokerage firms don't make their money really off of administrative accounts, but self-directed accounts aren't making money off you from selling you investment products, so they do actually need a charge for the services they're providing. Before you open a self-directed retirement account, it's really essential to understand the fee structure and evaluate whether the potential benefits outweigh the associated costs. You don't want to make an investment out of a self-directed account where the returns are so low that after fees, there's really not a significant return, or there's no return at all due to the high fees and low return of whatever investment you've decided to invest in. And of course, there's always the chance you lose money with investment. It's generally not advantageous to invest in real estate with a self-directed retirement account because your retirement account has less use for the paper loss that's created through depreciation. Many real estate investments have yields that are already tax deferred by using depreciation, or the profits are taxed at a capital gains rate. If you're investing with a traditional retirement account, you'll end up paying ordinary income taxes on the earnings, which is generally higher than paying capital gains tax. Remember, capital gains tax is either 15% or 20%, depending on how much income you have. Active real estate investing also allows you to use leverage by borrowing money to purchase property. If you try to purchase an investment property from a self-directed retirement account, it is more difficult to get a mortgage. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's definitely not as straightforward than if you're investing outside of a retirement account. When you get a mortgage, depending on what kind of mortgage you're getting, the bank is really looking at your credit. If you're getting a commercial type loan, they're also looking at your experience and the business plan for the property. In the case of your retirement account, well, your retirement account doesn't have its own credit. Regulation from the IRS regarding investments in retirement accounts also prohibits what's called self-dealing investments. This would include investments in which you or your family members have prior ownership. For example, you can't sell your self-directed retirement account a property that you personally purchased and is in your name or a name of any LLC that you have, or your parents' property or siblings' property. You also can't give yourself a loan as an investment from a retirement account. Another example is that you can't pay yourself for work that you do for a property that your account owns. If you do find a lender who's willing to lend on a property owned by a retirement account, then you're likely also going to be paying a higher interest rate than if you held that same loan outside of a retirement account. If the self-directed account is a IRA, then you will have to pay UBIT taxes on the amount of leverage used. UBIT stands for Unrelated Business Income Tax. In the case of real estate, it's a tax on income generated from debt. Let's say you purchase a single-family home that's a rental property in your self-directed IRA. You put a 20% down payment and get a loan for 80%. So let's say the profit from your rental held in the self-directed IRA was $10,000 a year. So in this case, because you had an 80% loan on the property, then you would owe UBIT taxes on $8,000 for that year. Not all self-directed retirement accounts are subject to UBIT tax, so you can see how there's a lot of complexity with these types of accounts. My personal experience with self-directed retirement accounts was similar to this, but from the lending side. I had a friend who wanted to purchase a turnkey single-family rental house using retirement funds because that's where she had funds at the time to be able to make a down payment. She didn't actually have enough to buy the house in outright cash, so I became her bank. I gave her a mortgage and held a note so that she can make this investment. She paid me above market interest rates until the loan was paid off. I'm not suggesting people do this like I did, but for my friend and I, it worked out. She had a great cash flowing rental property, and I got a good return on the money I loaned to her. She also paid off the loan relatively quickly, especially compared to most mortgages. So what kind of investments would be worthwhile to use a self-directed retirement account? Remember, I'm not an investment advisor, but I personally think that investing in debt funds makes a lot of sense to do from a self-directed retirement account. There are different types of debt funds out there, and currently many of them are paying around 10% interest. In general, a debt fund is a fund that loans out money at high interest rates. When you invest in a debt fund, you're giving money for the fund to loan out. So you may get paid a 10% interest rate while the debt fund is loaning the money you invest with them out at 15% or more. Why is this a good investment to hold in a self-directed retirement account? That's because the returns from the debt fund are considered interest, which is taxed at ordinary income tax rates. There's no tax benefit, even if the money for the debt fund is used to lend to investors to buy real estate and actually acts as a mortgage. When you invest in a debt fund out of your self-directed IRA, you don't have to pay any income taxes on the interest earnings each year, instead deferring when you pay that income tax until when you withdraw from the retirement account. And that's assuming that it's a traditional IRA. If it's a Roth version, then you don't ever have to pay income taxes on those earnings. Self-directed retirement accounts really represents a powerful tool for investors that are seeking to expand their retirement savings beyond conventional assets. They do offer greater flexibility, control, and diversification, and you can really customize your investment strategy. However, it's really essential that you know what you're getting yourself into when it comes to these self-directed retirement accounts. Make sure you do thorough research and due diligence and mitigate any risks effectively. Don't forget to consider the additional administrative costs associated with those self-directed retirement accounts and how that will impact the return on your investment. With the right approach, self-directed retirement accounts can serve as a valuable vehicle for achieving long-term financial security and independence. Like anything, it's a tool. It just really depends on how you use it. Well, I hope that gave some clarity on what a self-directed retirement account is. I know there's a lot more I could go into, but I think overall that is a good introduction. Thanks for being a listener of the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. See you next week. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could share it with your friends and colleagues. And now for the disclaimer. I am not a certified financial planner, accountant, or attorney, and nothing I say should be construed as professional investment, tax, or legal advice. This show is primarily for your education and entertainment. I am a physician, but I'm probably not your physician. So if you need any medical advice, please contact your own physician. Thank you.